You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Under the Zero Carbon Act, New Zealand has a target to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. At face value, this seems pretty ambitious, but net zero emissions can be achieved by offsetting rather than reducing emissions. For example, by buying carbon credits in an emissions trading scheme rather than changing emissions producing practice in industries. In New Zealand and in the world over, tree planting is a common method to offset emissions. The Climate Action Tracker, which measures states' climate policies against the Paris Agreement's aim of limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, has marked New Zealand's climate policy as insufficient, meaning our policies would lead to a world with between 2 to 3 degrees warming. The Climate Action Tracker states New Zealand's current policy will not meet the zero emissions target, and in particular notes the exclusion of agricultural methane from the net zero target, even though it accounts for over 40% of New Zealand's emissions. New Zealand has been criticised in the past for excluding agriculture in the emissions trading scheme in 2012 and for unambitious targets under the Paris Agreement. The United Nations Climate Change Conference is set to take place in November this year, and before that, the Climate Change Commission will make recommendations. So it's still yet to be seen whether this landscape shifts within the next year, because it seems like it is going to be a pretty big year for climate action and policy. The government has made rhetoric that indicates that it takes climate change seriously, including declaring a climate emergency. However, considering the dominance of measures like tree planting that offset emissions rather than reduce them, I started to worry that any achievement of net zero emissions would actually be fictitious, that goals would be achieved on paper while we continued to carry on carbon production as usual without making any substantive changes to the way things are done. I spoke to James Renwick, a climate scientist at the Victoria University of Wellington, and I started by asking him to what extent companies and institutions rely on tree planting as a climate mitigation strategy.
Quite common. It's something that is talked about in most countries, and there have been proposals for planting a trillion trees worldwide, and a lot of countries are on board with that kind of thing. So it is a very common approach. Not all countries are doing it, but it's well known as a way to reduce carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere or reduce net emissions. I shouldn't say reduce carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. That would take a lot more work.
And how effective is this in fighting climate change?
Well, it's effective up to a point. We are putting a lot of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, mostly through burning fossil fuels. And planting trees, growing trees, that uses up some carbon dioxide, because that's what the trees use as fuel when they're growing. So you can subtract one from the other, I guess. This is the idea of net emissions. We've got the gross emissions from the burning of fossil fuels, and then we remove a little bit by growing some trees. But ultimately, it's just a partial reduction, and there are only so many hectares of land and only so many trees that could be planted. That wouldn't solve the problem, so we actually need to reduce the emissions. We can't just rely on planting trees.
Don't forests kind of reduce how much carbon they actually absorb once they reach maturity?
That's right, yes. It's while the trees are growing. So if you, say, grew a plantation forest until maturity and then you cut the trees down and use the wood for some kind of long-term storage, you may built a house or made some furniture, you didn't burn the wood, and then you plant more trees, so you've got more trees growing, then as long as you're constantly replenishing the forest with younger trees and you're not burning the wood that you get out the other end, then that would be an ongoing way of taking some of the carbon dioxide out of the air. But you need to manage the forests pretty carefully.
Why have so many companies and institutions opted for this approach of reforesting and planting trees rather than other actions which more concretely reduce emissions, like actually reduce them rather than just offset them?
That's a really good question. It's part of the mix, I would say. We're hopefully working on reducing actual emissions, but in the meantime, planting trees or finding ways to absorb some of the carbon dioxide is not a bad thing. Yeah, a lot of people talk about carbon dioxide removal technology or negative emissions technology, ways to suck carbon dioxide out of the air once it's up there. And that these kind of technologies are built into a lot of the scenarios for the future for different levels of warming. The only catch is the only technology we're aware of right now that actually works on a large scale is tree planting, or maybe regenerative agricultural practices, sort of soil carbon, carbon farming so-called, building up carbon in soils. That's also quite good. But all of the other technologies that are being talked about, clever ways to suck CO2 out of the air, they don't exist really. There's some demonstration level, laboratory level techniques, but none of the ones that are available right now could really be rolled out at the sort of scale you'd need to reduce emissions enough, or reduce carbon dioxide concentrations enough to make a difference. So tree planting is tried and true. It's something we can do, so it's what a lot of people are wanting to do. But yeah, we need to really tackle reducing the actual emissions. That's ultimately the way to go.
The IPCC report on climate change that came out a few years ago gave us 12 years to actually address climate change with sort of drastic policy actions, and that was a few years ago, so it's probably a bit below 10 now. If our tried and true strategy that we have does make a difference, but not as much of a difference as we need it to, then what can actually be done to stop the planet from just hurtling towards climate disaster?
Well, we need to reduce emissions. We need to stop burning fossil fuels. That's the bottom line. So we need to be investing in renewables, solar, wind, tidal, all the kinds of energy production that don't involve burning fossil fuels, and that might include nuclear in the places that already have it. And that's what we all need to be doing. Yes, that IPCC report came out in 2018 and it said we needed to halve global emissions by 2030 if we wanted to have a good chance of stopping warming at less than 1.5 degrees, or no more than 1.5 degrees. So at that time it was 12 years away. It's a little less than 10 years away now, and global emissions have not decreased, although they did in 2020 because of COVID-19 and all the lockdowns. We saw something like a 7% reduction in global emissions, which is the kind of level you'd need every year from now on to get to that halving by 2030, let's say. So if the global economy bounces back, but in a way that uses more renewable energy, maybe we can keep producing. But that's the kind of thing that needs to happen. Tree planting is fine as well, but we really need to get on to renewable energy production and use. And that also includes, for New Zealand especially, the transport sector has been the big growth area for emissions of carbon dioxide. So moving to much more use of electric vehicles, whether that's cars or bikes or skateboards, I'm not sure. More public transport, better rail services, bus services, all that kind of thing. That would make a difference. And we can be planting trees at the same time, but mostly we need to concentrate on reducing the actual emissions. And the Climate Change Commission's first set of advice for government on how to actually do that will be released for public comment in just a couple of weeks on the 1st of February. So I think that's a great opportunity for everyone in the country to look at what's proposed and make some kind of submission, or have some input into where you think New Zealand should be going with reducing emissions.
Jacinda Ardern has quite famously said that climate change is this generation's nuclear free moment, and the government did recently declare a climate emergency. But at the same time, New Zealand was recently excluded from the Climate Leaders Summit on account of not being ambitious enough. Do you see a sort of gap between New Zealand's rhetoric on climate and actual action taken?
In some ways, yes. Actual emissions from New Zealand have not reduced yet. But this government and the previous Labor coalition government have done a lot of work setting things up. For instance, passing the Zero Carbon Act, creating the Climate Change Commission, bringing in legislation to require financial institutions to report on their exposure to climate change-related risk, which is, we're one of the first countries in the world to do that. And government is required this year to respond to this advice from the Climate Change Commission and start to take action. As part of the climate emergency declaration late last year, government did commit to making the public service carbon neutral by 2025, which was a pretty short time frame. So that's some indication that this government is really starting to think seriously. I know it's been slow progress, but the landscape politically and in terms of policy is very different now to where it was even 5 or 6 years ago. So a lot of progress has been made behind the scenes. We're at least at the starting blocks now. We need to start running from, hopefully, the next few months.
Not discounting that this is progress, but is it progress that matches the scale that we need it to, considering the problem ahead?
Not really, no. And I don't think any country has really taken climate change seriously enough. You know, we're talking about drastic action being required in the next few years. And that's true. If we don't meet the 1.5 degree limit, well, you know, the world doesn't end. But the more warming we get, the more extreme events, the more sea level rise, the more damage and the more grief, basically. So there has been pretty lacklustre response from governments around the world so far, and it's really disappointing. It's frustrating. You know, I've been studying this stuff for 30 years and still we're waiting to see real action get underway. And you know, that is the way the world is, and a lot of that is because fossil fuel companies, oil companies, have invested large amounts of money in lying to policymakers and the public about the need for action on climate change. That's been very effective. But partly, you know, it's hard to see the impacts until it's too late. You know, that's part of the problem with climate change, that it kind of sneaks up on you. And when you see really bad things happening, you've left it a bit late to take the action. So it's a difficult problem to tackle from a policy point of view. It's just unlike anything else that I think any human society's tried to deal with in the past. So in a way, it's no surprise that action's been a bit slow to happen, but yeah, we really do need to see things happening almost, you know, from right now, immediately. The next couple of years is going to be important to see action starting to happen. And I do think once we see the curve of emissions starting to turn down, that will inspire a lot more action. So I'm hoping we can, once we get going, we can accelerate the action on reducing emissions.
And I think that if there is one thing that we have learnt from the COVID-19 pandemic, it's that if the situation demands it and if there is political willpower behind it, you can make some pretty big changes in very, very short amount of time. That was James Renwick, a climate scientist at the Victoria University of Wellington, speaking about carbon emissions.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.